is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive. I'm your host, Brad Bigney, and I've got my wife by my side, Vicki Bigney. And we are so happy to share with you some of what God has done to help us. And some of what that includes is gratitude. Might be surprising. You might say, what? Every marriage book I pick up, it doesn't have a chapter on gratitude. I know. But there's another book that has a lot to say about gratitude, the Bible. And we're going to talk about it some more in the show today. Vicki, you touched on something that I really appreciated in our last show, where you said, if you're going to begin to express gratitude and have this new posture towards your spouse horizontally, it starts with having that kind of heart in your relationship with God, practicing and cultivating gratitude in your relationship with God. Was this something that you always just like, bam, you thought this way, or at some point in your life you thought, I need to do this. This needs to be more intentional.
I think it just kind of flows from as you spend time with Jesus and you're seeing things about him and you're thankful to him for what he's brought you from.
Yeah.
Like, I never know what the verses are, Brad always says. What's that verse? It says like, you are lost and in the world without hope.
Lost? No, I can't think of it right now.
Okay,
either.
But anyway, that's just a very sobering verse to me, because as I pray for people that I know that are unsaved, you know, when you don't know Christ, you are lost in the world.
Ephesians 2.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
See, it takes two of us
separated,
to do this show.
Without God, without hope in this world.
I mean, without hope, and Ephesians you see it all 2. Around us. And so when you realize that's no longer me, that is a reason to celebrate and to give God thanks for.
And so there's a phrase that I've used with our church family for almost 30 years now, but it still excites me. Your biggest problem has been solved. And that's a vertical problem that each one of us had with God, that we were sinners separated from a holy God, and there was no way we could bridge that chasm of sin. And he did it for us when he sent his son to take on flesh, perfectly keep the law, and then give his life in payment on the cross to remove our sin debt so that we could be right with a holy God. Wow. And as Vicki says, when you read the Bible, it keeps that stirred up in you that you just don't get over. Oh my goodness, there's who I was, and this is who I am.
It didn't have to be this way.
No.
I mean, it is the kind intention of his pleasure, Scripture tells us. That was the kind intention of his pleasure that he took us out of that life.
That's right. It's because of what he did that I am now in such a different position. And so here's what I want you to get a hold of as we dig into it a little bit today. Your marriage is never your biggest problem. It's that sin problem between you and God. So even on your worst marriage day, you have something to be grateful for, because you could say, oh my goodness, I am not on my way to hell. I might feel like I'm living in adverse circumstances. I might be hugely disappointed. I might be very frustrated.
And we can relate to that. And I know some people are.
We can relate to that. Absolutely. And I might be confused. I was so confused. I was just like, because, you know, we touched on some previous shows. I'm Mr. Command. So I typically just think, boom, what do we need to do to fix this, solve it, get to a new place? And Brad Bigney, Mr. Command, had come up with nothing. So I was so frustrated, just thinking, wow, this is it. But your marriage is never your biggest problem. And so I'm going to talk our way through a little bit, Vicki. How do we keep it stirred up, this gratitude towards God for what he's done? And so if you're listening today and thoughts of your salvation, I hope you're a Christian. You'd say, yes, I know that I put my trust in Christ, that I'm forgiven, I'm on my way to heaven. But if thoughts of your salvation and the wonder of that and the goodness of that have been stuck in some drawer for a while, or you've had it pushed off in cold storage. You know what I mean? It's like, you know it's there, but you don't taste it. You don't smell it anymore. It hasn't been warmed up. It's not on the front burner of your heart and mind. I want us to pull it out in this show. And I want us to put it on the front burner of our heart. And I want to heat that up a little bit. Because did you realize when you know that your biggest problem has been solved, your sin problem, you've been forgiven, it means so many things. What I'd like to get you to picture right now is if I was to lift up a diamond and just hold it, a cut diamond, not placed in a ring yet, just the stone, and hold it in the light and just let the light refract off all the cuts and color and clarity and carat of that thing, you would see all kinds of different aspects. Salvation is no different. There's a lot to salvation that's more than, and here's what I would say to you since we're talking about gratitude. The more you can bring something out of fuzzy land and out of general into specific, the better you'll do at being grateful. When you just think, yeah, I'm saved. I'm not on my way to hell. He forgave me. You'll struggle. So what are the components? What's part of that salvation gem? Well, here's one. You have been forgiven, not some, but all of your sins. Imagine the goodness of simply, what if it was just the day I put my trust in Christ? Hallelujah. Every sin I've sinned to that point, forgiven. But everything I do moving forward, not forgiven yet. Whew, that's not what we're talking about. You've been forgiven. Past, present, and future sins were put on him on the cross. All your sins have been forgiven. Oh, but there's more. And here's something that I didn't get a hold of until probably after high school, because I just didn't hear it in the church growing up where I was. You've been adopted. That makes it so personal. You're not outside the family anymore, and you're not just a forgiven enemy. That'd be great. You're a child. You're a son or daughter of the King. And so we can call him Abba, Father, adopted. You've been given, the Bible teaches, if you're saved, you're a Christian, a robe of righteousness. The righteousness of Christ that was his and his alone has been given to you so that when God the Father looks at you, he sees the perfection and righteousness of his Son. Wow. You have freedom from condemnation and shame. One of my favorite verses is Romans 8:1. There is therefore, when, Vicky? Now, right now. Not one day, someday when you stand in his presence. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation, robe of righteousness, adopted, forgiven. You have access to the Father day and night in prayer because of Jesus Christ as a child. You think about how often our kids, and now we experience it with our grandkids, they just run into your presence uninvited. They don't wait to see if it's a good time. They don't ask, Pop Pops, are you in an important meeting right now? They just go. That's what we have as children of God, as an adopted son or daughter, unlimited access to his presence, to his throne day and night, to come in prayer and just pray and ask big and little things, whatever you want. You've got his Spirit living in you and you have a brand new identity. Your identity is no longer tied to the Enneagram. It's no longer tied to a personality test. It's no longer tied primarily to skin color. It's not tied to economics or education. What part of the country you grew up in, culture? Wow, you are now in Christ. And there's such security in that. As I've just stirred the pot a little bit here, Vicky, why don't you give any of your thoughts? How has this impacted you? And how did you have to come into this? I find that most people have to kind of come into this and get past just salvation in general, especially if you got saved as a child. I got saved when I was 7. Obviously, a 7-year-old is not getting a hold of some of these cuts and colors and carrots and clarity. But as I got older and got a hold of more of this, wow, my gratitude for salvation and towards God just began to go way up.
And I think I have a wonderful pastor. But truthfully, Brad really just, what he just kind of went through with us, he constantly does that in preaching and teaching. Once again, that's not the whole thing, but he'll just kind of hit on that all along the way. So I think it's really become ingrained in my mind. And I think one of these that really stands out to me is you have a new identity and purpose. And I think that really happened for me in high school. And it was just like, it was almost like,
not really. It was almost like your personality changed,
I think people thought that because it was, once I came to know Christ and some of these truths started becoming actually true to me.
Because in the early years, describe what kind of child you were.
Oh, I was very quiet. Yeah, I was quiet. I was shy. I know it's hard.
Reserved, withdrawn.
People that I tell that to now, they're like, yeah, we don't believe that. But really, I think it was the mindset of just who am I in Christ? And once I knew him, and it just gave me a new purpose and I knew a new identity that I'm his child. He goes with me to this public high school, and everyone I meet either needs to know about Jesus, they're lost and going to an eternal hell, and they need to hear about Christ. And once again, not the full-blown gospel, but just how can I pray for you? How can I get involved in your life? Or if they're a believer, they need to be encouraged. And so every day as I got up, that was just forefront on my mind. Like, wow, I have a new identity. I have a new purpose. Jesus is with me. Now, two things happened. I think I
But also, wasn't there a haircut?
Yeah, I was going to say that, yeah. That was the 80s. For these people that lived in the 80s, it was the whole Farrah Fawcett haircut. I mean, up to that point, to my credit, my dad had always cut my hair. That's what we did back then.
Yeah, sweet man.
Straight across bangs,
no training
long hair.
In cutting female hair.
You know, I didn't know there was, we didn't pay to get our hair cut. So I went to Lavonda's on Hilltop Drive and got Whispering Pines, feathered. Yeah, parted down the middle, feathered. So it was like a whole new identity.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll unpack this some more.
We'll be back with more from Pastor Brad and Vicki in just a moment. And hey, if this conversation has stirred something in you, you're not alone. What they're talking about and describing today, how gratitude toward God reshapes everything, even during those hardest times of your marriage, that hits different when you've actually lived through some of that yourself. Trust me. And look, if you're thinking this is the kind of biblical clarity I need more of in my week, let me tell you about Fortis Plus. If you've not downloaded the app yet, you are missing out. You're not going to run into paywalls or tiers, just solid biblical content every single day. As a matter of fact, we drop 7 new pieces of audio and video content every day from trusted voices like Brad and Vicki, Dr. Greg Gifford, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. John Crotts, Dr. Andrew Walker, Tim Challies, and more. You're going to find podcasts and hot takes and director's cuts from our fellows director Jason, and even daily news from yours truly. And it's all totally free. That's the best part. No hidden fees, no trial periods, just free from here to eternity. All you have to do is search Fortis Plus in your app store or head to fortisplus.org. And listen, if the content we're producing here at Fortis has encouraged you, if this podcast, Thrive, has helped your marriage find its footing again, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? This year marks 25 years of ministry. We started as Wretched Radio, grew into Gospel Partners Media, and now stand as Fortis Institute with new voices and an expanded mission to reach and equip even more people from all over the world. And here's the part that I love. 83% of every dollar you're able to give goes directly into producing and distributing content just like this. That's right, 83%. There's not many ministries that can make that claim. Also, there's not many ministries out there that would say this to you. If you're not giving to your local church, don't give to us. We're not here to replace the local church. We're here to walk alongside. Actually, not even alongside the local church. We are underneath the local church. That's where your giving should go first. If you're not doing that right now, clean that up and clear that up before you give to this ministry or any other. But if you are in a place where you are giving to your local church and you can go above and beyond and you believe in what we're doing here at Fortis Institute, we would love if you would pray about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. We know you have questions and we have answers, which are available to you right now at fortisinstitute.org. All right, let's get back to Pastor Brad and Vicki as they continue to walk through how vertical gratitude can spark real change at home. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive. And we're talking about how we could get our marriages moving forward a little more healthier, having a sense of traction, because so often we're stuck and we don't know where to start.
But I think just knowing that who I am in Christ, it just gave me such a new purpose. And I think that's something our world is desperately wanting. Who am I? Where do I fit into this world? Mm-hmm. And once you are accepted into Christ's family, it is a very secure place to be.
We're talking about gratitude in our marriage, but if you're ever going to express gratitude on a horizontal level to those closest to you, it starts with getting a grateful heart and learning to express it to God, that your biggest problem, that's not a marriage problem, has been solved. These two things impact each other. Vertical relationship and gratitude to God spilling over into horizontal relationship in our marriage. But for several shows now, we've been talking about a starting place that most people would never have imagined. How about gratitude? How about cultivating gratitude? But to do that, you've got to get good at vertical gratitude and horizontal. And it can start with your time with the Lord, just beginning to rehearse and reconsider and dig into and taste more, what has He done for me? That I'm a Christian now, that I'm a child of God. You have more thoughts on that, Vicki?
Yeah, I think one of the most moving thoughts in Scripture, when I get to it in the New Testament, I'm always quite excited that when Christ died on the cross, it says the veil in the temple was ripped from top to bottom. And I just love that word picture, that was their reality. They had to offer sacrifices and cut up animals and have a high priest. Once Christ died, the way was made possible that we can have direct access day or night. If I wake up at 3 a.m. and I'm concerned about one of my kids, I can just pray and God's not asleep. He never sleeps nor slumbers. We have access to the very God of the universe. That's so exciting to be. And then another one of my favorite passages, Hebrews 7:25, the New Living Translation says, therefore He is able once and forever to save those who come to God through Him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. In other words, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for me day and night, 24/7. Your mama may not be praying for you. She may be asleep. She may have gone to glory, but He's always praying for me. And once again, when you're in these hard marriages, God sees, He knows, He's praying for you and giving you grace to make different choices. And once again, that doesn't mean it's going to totally fix it, but what can you do on your part that He's asking you to do? And He's praying for you and providing the grace and the Holy Spirit within you necessary to make those changes. And even if your spouse doesn't change, you're going to change because your heart is more Christ-focused. It's in a different place. And you know He sees what you're doing. He's for you. He's praying right now for you. That's just very comforting to
That's
me.
A good insight, Vicki, and I'm glad you touched that for a moment. We don't do these things in order to get our spouse to do something. We hope, we would love that, but you will benefit. You cultivate a heart of gratitude towards God and others, including your spouse closest to you. You're a winner. You're not a loser. Too often we get caught up in this game, but what if I change and she doesn't? And what if I change and he doesn't? Or what if I change a lot and he only changes a little? Or what if everything I wish would be different doesn't all become different? And then we choose to just not even move forward because we think, and that's not the approach you want to take. If you begin to cultivate a heart of gratitude towards God,
you change.
Oh, it changes who you're going to like yourself better. Trust me. You know, what Vicki was describing in her own life in high school, what happened to her, it doesn't matter how that impacted anyone around her. She loved it. It was so, wasn't it so freeing?
Right. I mean, I had one of my Coach Williams, who was hilarious, and I had a class with him. He had all these different, it was back in the 80s. You had things that was not politically correct. Like you lived on, he had your desk lined up in the your grade point average. If you were A, you were on A Avenue. If you had a B grade point average, you were on B Boulevard.
So students were seated in desks.
If you had
everyone.
A C in his class, you were on C Circle and D Drive.
So
and
much
I can't
for self image and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there was none of that. But I remember Coach Williams.
So someone's in a row that's got the word F.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And very back. And then if you had the highest grade point average in his room, you got to sit in his big lazy boy chair that was old and ugly and stained, but you were happy to be there.
Oh, my goodness.
That was your goal. But anyway, he stopped me, Coach Williams. He stopped me in the hall one day and just said, what has happened to you?
Huh.
And that was just really exciting to me in a way because I realized this isn't just...
Yeah.
I think part of it was before, once again, I had been so self-focused on what are they thinking and what do they think about me? When you're living like that, you are very... You're not going to risk. You're guarded. You're not going to have any confidence because you're just thinking everyone's, they might, that might sound dumb. When you're just thinking, I'm just all open for
so
Jesus.
So he literally said, yes. What has happened yes. to you? And he didn't mention the haircut?
No, he didn't mention the haircut.
He mentioned the haircut.
It must have been pretty bad. I mean, you know, long hair with bangs. It was rough. I don't even know if bangs were in, but that's what I had. So how did we get off on Coach Williams? What was
well,
the point?
The turning point in your life was so freeing.
Right, yes.
And is it worth it to begin to cultivate these things
yes.
or change my thinking? And my spouse doesn't. It might happen, but I got to tell you, I've counseled now for 30 years, really more than 30 years, almost 40. It is rare when your spouse sees real change. It encourages them so much that they are likely to begin to change. When Vicki and I were both focused on trying to change each other,
disastrous.
No change was happening. Both of us just bowed up and
dug
became,
our heels
yeah,
in.
Dug my heels in and said, you never had it so good. I'm a great guy. But
yeah,
when
yeah,
you
yeah.
begin to say, I'm going to work on me. I'm going to do these things. It is very likely that especially if you're listening and you're a guy, let me tell you, the degree to which you change and you begin to cultivate and do some of the things we've been talking about in these shows, watch how your wife will respond.
And blossom.
And blossom. I believe God wired and designed women to be responders. Yes, they have incredible gifts, incredible minds, incredible abilities. But in the marriage context, what we do as men, how we love, how we change, how we grow, has a huge impact on our wives. And they typically respond. I don't know too many women that are like, yeah, whatever. Now, if you're stuck and you've been stuck for a while, people can be suspicious and guarded and think, well, we'll see if that lasts. We'll see. All right, that might be two steps forward and three back. So don't expect them to pull out the pom-poms and just go crazy cheering you on the first time you do something different. But if it becomes something real, like what Vicki was talking about, where they see what just happened, well, they seem like a different person. There's just a joy. Because along with gratitude comes joy. And along with the gratitude comes peace. There's a cluster of good fruit that arrives with gratitude. And people see it. People can notice it. Obviously, Coach Williams was not even Vicki's husband. She's not living with her at close range. But just the interactions
but
in the classroom.
But I think I was on A Avenue. Because I am a high achiever.
So you were right there in the
Don't
front
Don't think
row.
I ever made it to the throne, but...
You never got in the recliner
Never got
chair.
In the recliner.
But A Avenue, glad to hear it, girl. Yeah, way to go. So... You're not the loser if you begin to lean in and work on some of these things. And this and we started with gratitude is where we began this conversation shows ago. And I want you to know it's all through the scriptures. I love to not just isolate and pluck, like cherry pick individual verses. I love to see themes. And there is a theme of gratitude running through the Bible. That's why the Apostle Paul, who unpacks the glory of salvation more than any other writer, also, it's interesting, he unpacks the glory of salvation more than any other writer. Guess what? He uses the Greek word eucharisteo more than any other New Testament writer. 46 times in his letters of the New Testament, he uses the word eucharisteo, which again, get what we're saying, is not, oh, I feel grateful. I express gratitude. I give it. In fact, he makes giving thanks a part of basic Christianity 101 as to how you can keep growing and changing. When he says in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, here it is, abounding in thanksgiving. Just as you started with Christ, continued with Christ, be rooted in him, established in your faith, and then he adds this, abounding in thanks. This is not supposed to be a garnish on the side of our life. This is not supposed to be just a hint of thanksgiving. He says, this is something we should be abounding in.
and start with how you abound in it towards your relationship with God. If you're wondering where to begin, consider, I'm going to start cultivating gratitude and expressing it to God for who I am now, who He is for me, what He's done for me in Jesus, and see if that doesn't begin to spill over into your horizontal relationship with others around you.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.